So 2008, my journey started going from Cranbrook to Kamloops. And I spent 3 weeks, and I was praying to God. I just said, God, please put me in a cell with another believer, because I don't want to be just alone. And I got there, and sure enough, I was put in with another believer. And then from that point, I said, Lord, I says, I don't want to be going into a medium security prison. And so I prayed and prayed. And so we got to Abbotsford, which is a center, and it's called ARAC. It's funny how they say that. But they put me in there, and that's an assessment. And through that, I was there for 3 months. And again, I was put in a cell with someone that came with me from Kamloops. And he was a long-time person in prison, and was a native fella. And so I was in the cell with him while we were in Abbotsford. And at one time we were in lockdown, and we had nothing to do. We were stuck in our cells, and he threw a piece of garbage, and it fell on the floor. And me, being a nice guy, would pick it up, and I threw it in the can, and in the garbage can. And he turned around and said, "If you ever do that again, I'm going to kill you." And at that point, I'm going, Lord, what do you have planned for me, Lord? I can't do this. And that same day, we were able to get our belongings that we had with us. And I was able to get my Bible. And in there, I opened it up. And it was funny, I think it was exactly Psalms 40. I mean, it was that exact one that I had highlighted in there, and I was reading that. I said, okay, Lord, I know that you're with me. And then from there, I just prayed, Lord, where are you sending me now? And at that point, I was told that I was going into a minimum security, and that was my good point, that I was going to minimum security. Because the bad point is you're going over to the island, to a place called William Head. And a lot of people have told me that that was called Club Fed, and I'm going, okay. They said, well, there's a golf course there. And I'm going, okay, Lord. And so, and through that, I went over there, and I was in a minimum security, living in a duplex with 5 rooms, and basically it was like a duplex. It was a house. And from that point, God brought me with a pastor that was there. He was the chaplain. And through that, my journey started to unfold, and that's where my prayer life started to change, and my journaling, and he just continued to work. And about a year into my sentence, I had filed for an appeal, and I got out for 18 months, and I said, okay, Lord, okay. And so through that, I was out for 8 months, and the appeal didn't go through, and I had to go back. And my heart was broken. And I said, Lord, okay, I guess I'm not ready yet. And when I got there, going back, I didn't feel like I was, that God wasn't there. And again, my journey started again. And he continued to heal me and strengthen me. And from that point, I ended up getting a chance to have my point where I can get out on early on release. And I won that, and I was out. And I said, Lord, okay, so I want to go back to my place where I left, and that was Cranbrook. And I kept fighting it. So they said, no, there's no halfway house there. We have to send you to Kelowna, which brought me here. And I said, okay, Lord. So I kept fighting it with my parole officer. I said, well, can we get me back to Cranbrook? And he goes, no. He goes, you're going to have to finish your sentence here. Okay, Lord. And at that point, so from from that point, I was married at that point, and it wasn't to my wife Yvonne right now, but at that point, I went through 19 years of abuse in that marriage, and it was not a healthy relationship for me. And at that point, I realized God was telling me that I can't go back to that. And I kept fighting because I didn't want to get a divorce. But in turn, she divorced me. And so my journey began. And a while later, I got to a chance to go to a place called Connections, which is a singles group at Trinity. And Craig, who was the best man at our wedding, invited me there. And he knew that I was a sound man. And he goes, well, we need a sound man at Trinity, at Connections. And at that point, he put me beside Yvonne. And lo and behold, I didn't know what God was doing in both our hearts. Because for 6 months, we were working side by side. And all of a sudden, God was tapping on my heart saying, Lord, pay attention to this woman beside you. And the same thing was happening to her. And I know that I'm not going to share her story. But so through all of that, I had the courage to ask her for a date. And from that point, God was working in both of us. And through all of this, a month into being in Kelowna, I got a job through Labor's Unlimited. And I got onto his job site, and I actually had 3 job offers in 3 days. And to this point now, so I got this job. I was a site super at a job, and now I'm the manager of the branch that I'm working for. And God has just continued to strengthen me. And he's brought me into this church with men's ministry, sound, and worship. I am just so blessed, and I thank God for taking me on this journey. And I would not change it for anything. I would go back to what God put me through to have the same result. So I give God all the glory. And so my story is on forgiveness, because only God could have done that. Nobody, not even me. So I'm so thankful.
Anybody else?
Actually, I don't want to come out before, but I just feel something inside of me that says you have to come out and share what God has done in your life for the past few months that I've stayed in Canada. It's been a tough time. When I came here, because virtually I don't have anybody here. It started last year in my church. There was a prophecy. My pastor told me that I'm going out of the country. And during that time, I was confused because I didn't plan of. Even I'm just a fresh graduate from school, and I have a job that I'm doing back home. And I told him, where did he want me to go? And he said, just go and mark my word, you are going somewhere like outside of the country. I said, okay, fine. My family was like, we are humble. Let me say, we are a middle family. Like I used to tell people, another poor and another rich. I know my dad cannot afford something like that. We are four in the family. And I'm like the third. And I still have a younger one still in university and paying a lot of tuitions. I talked to God. I said, if it is your will, let your will be done. I talked to my dad and my mom. They came together and they says, you know my business? Everything is exposed to you. And I said, yes. I'm not a kid. I know everything in the family. But he said, we are going to support you. I said, are you sure? And he said, yes. The journey started. And I received all my paper documents to come to Canada. My dad was crying. My mom was crying that what is going to happen? I said, all is well. They were able to raise at least millions of Nairas because of, the money currency issue, millions. And it's not enough. Like, I communicate with the school. I communicate with anybody that I can communicate here in Kelowna. They are giving me, like, more expensive to pay, even for me to secure an accommodation and everything. I told my dad, I said, I'm not going. Let's talk to school and defer these admissions. Tell them I'm not coming this year. I'll come next year. At least I'm working in the bank then, so I'll be able to save a lot of money in the bank from my salary and able to finance the rest. But my pastor told me, you have to embark. I said, I have to embark where I don't know anybody. And virtually, I don't know whether I'm going to meet a black people here because I'm going to a white country. And he says, just go. I fasted for 21 days, fasting and prayer, telling God that if it is your will, just make this a journey, a successful one. When I was boarding the plane, my parents were still crying because they know that nobody is going to take care of me over there. But I used to tell them, God will take care of me. But their mind is not at peace. They are just crying in the airport saying, oh, where do you stay? Where you are going? I bought a plane. I didn't hit anything. They are giving us everything. But I just ignore it. I said, I don't want to hit. And finally, I landed in the Vancouver airport. And that is where my heart was like, I'm not afraid before, but now the fear now came when I don't see none of my family again. And the tear came out from my eyes. I said, where are my mom, where are my dad, where are my siblings, everybody? And God just sent somebody. It's from Africa. And fortunately, the person is from Nigeria. And he said, oh, you are new. I can see you are just coming. I said, yes. And the person gave me the phone, said, I should call home that I arrived safely. That is where something came. Like, my dad said, where did you get the phone and call? I said, I just met somebody. I said, thank God for that. So this guy took me everywhere I can come to Kelowna because I don't know Kelowna. So he made everything possible for me. And that is how the challenges started. And my tuitions was like, I was able to pay some of the tuition fee. But when I came here, everything was like expensive. My money was not enough. I talked to school. I said, I want to take a break. And this last year, I even talked to Pastor Steve concerning the issue then that I wish I can go out of school right now because I'm not ready. They said, okay, you have to continue. But to cut the long story short, starting from last year, I think November and December, things started changing. Like, I don't know how the money came. All my debts that I incurred in school, I was able to pay everything. And even my professors was able to tell me that, Abby, what is happening? How do you, like, do this? How can you afford to pay all the debts? I said, He's God. He's God. Because none of them believe that I can even, because I was like, I used to trouble them. All my professors, I used to tell them, see, I'm going out of school. See, I'm not coming to class next week. I used to give a lot of excuses. But thank God that God did miraculous things. Even though the business of my dad is not moving fine right now, they are government workers, and my dad, my mom, also my dad is retired. My mom is still in service, but the government is owing them a lot of money. Like 7 months wages, they have not even collected anything. I said, how is this possible? But God just told me that if I said you should go, just hear my word. And I want to use this opportunity to thank the family. Like I used to call First Baptist Church my family, because my first week in Kelowna, I lodged in a hotel. Actually, that is the last money I have. I used it to live because I don't want to stay on the street. So, but the last day that I have to leave the hotel, the manager called me and told me that, say, if you don't have money, we'll give you like, something that you can be doing. And I said, no, I'm here to study. My class have started. Everything has, like, I miss a lot of assignments. I miss a lot of things. How do you expect me to be giving me this excuse, all these things, opinion, all these options? But I talked to God. I said, God, I need an accommodation. A woman just called me that day. That same day, nowhere. I don't know this woman. And funny enough, it's like it's an Haitian woman, because I hear that in British Columbia there's a lot of Asian people here. So the woman just called me and said, I hear that you need accommodation. Just come into my house right now. I said, okay, fine. I don't know you, but the woman accommodated me. I'm just paying him like a few amount of money for the bills and everything. That is how it started, and I located this church the following week, and starting from there, things have been changed, like things have changed. And whenever I call my dad and my mom and tell them every situation, they're like happy right now, that at least is in the hand of some people. And I want to use the opportunity also to thank the Rogers families, Champagne family. They are like, they have been wonderful to me. Actually, I don't know them, but they took me as their sons when I came here. They used to give me a ride to church during that time, and I used the opportunity to meet them. And that even though I know everybody is passing through a lot of issues, but they use the opportunity that God is giving to them to help me out. And all the families in this church, even right now, to the family of Sarah and Dave that I'm staying in their house right now, I want to thank everybody in this church, because you guys, you are my families. And whenever I see you, I see everybody here, I am happy that I have some people here in Kelowna. I have some people here in Canada. I just want to thank God for everything that God has been doing. It's been wonderful, like wonderful. All my friends, all my colleagues, they used to envy me that even though you don't know any way, but you are able to figure your ways out. And I used to tell them that it is God, because he's the one that sent me here. And whenever God says yes, I think no man can say no, nobody. So I want to use this opportunity to appreciate him. Like, I'm a shy guy. I don't want to come out before, but it just says that actually I've not been there yet. Like, I'm still moving forward. I'm still striving forward in order to achieve the purpose of God for my life. Like, I'm still growing every day. But I thank him for what he has done to this present moment, because I believe he will still do more. And his promise never failed. He gave me a lot of promises before I came here. So I know and I believe every promise will be fulfilled in my life. So I want to give thanks. I want to give adoration to God for what he has done and for what is going to be doing in my life, even in this Kelvinum. And once again, thank you so much. The family of First Baptist Church Kelowna, I appreciate everybody. You are my dad, you are my mom, you are my brothers, you are my sisters. And whenever I see you, I feel happy. Even though I have a summer job that want to keep me out from church these times, but I go to my employer today, I say, whenever I'm not in church, I'll just be doing bad work. Just allow me to go to church, because that is where my heart lies. So I want to appreciate every one of you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And Abby, thank you for serving our children and for being part of our family. Both Jack and Abby tell testimonies of, I waited patiently on the Lord. Right? Wouldn't it be great if we asked him for something and he gave it to us straight away? Except that usually that thing that we're asking for is not the best thing that's for us. But there's that verse that's just been sitting there. Verse 4, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, and a woman who makes the Lord his trust. Here, you can wait patiently as long as you have a Lord that you can trust to provide the best that he has for you. And the best that he has for you quite often isn't what we think is the best. I think probably both these guys would testify to that. Anybody else? Don't be shy. Well, I'm going to pray for protection for these two guys who've given a great testimony to the Lord's work. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Jack and for Abby, for their testimony to the goodness of the provision that you've made for them, that they realize that this is not something that they could have done on their own. But Lord, blessed is the man, or the men, and the women who put their trust in you and wait patiently. Lord, we pray for protection both today and over the coming days. Lord, that the enemy would have no foothold there to make them regret anything that they've shared, to rebuff anything that they've said, to make them suck second-guessing their faith. But Lord, that your angels would surround them, that your spirit would strengthen them. And Lord, for others here this morning that have a similar testimony, but just don't feel they want to share it in front of everybody just yet. Lord, I pray that you'd give them a forum, that they would be able to testify to the goodness of waiting patiently for you, in a knowledge that the point that you've brought them to isn't just for them to see, It's a witness to all of us of the glory, of the goodness, of the strength, of the majesty, of everything that you are and everything that you promised to be. That same God that works in Jack and Abby's lives is working in each and every one of us, if only we'll let you. So Lord, we thank you for this word of truth, this word of testimony this morning. Amen.